I've asked that question more than once, on way too many occasions. Why, Lord? And I'm sure that if you would admit it, that you probably asked the same question. Not asking for a raising of hands, but I'm sure that we've asked that question. And so, when we do that, the question comes to mind, and James Dobson wrote a book, Why Does Good Things Happen? Or Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? We might ask ourselves, why do bad things just happen to anyone? After all, if God's sovereign, can't he step in? Can't he interfere with the course of nature and change things? Tom just read about Jeremiah, who wrote to the captives in Babylon, and what he was doing, he was instructing them that life doesn't end because there's trouble. It doesn't end because something comes along that interferes with the way that we think it should be. He's saying, in any unpleasant times, in any troubling times, keep moving. He said to them, you'll be here 70 years. Build homes, work, but in 70 years, I will take you out of captivity. The calamity in our lives will pass. The things that go on in our lives will pass. Sometimes it's awfully hard to try to figure it out when we're going through those times and those troubles. But I can tell you, peace will come. It may not come the way we want it, and it may not come the way we expect it, but it will come. I asked that question in 1993. Why? I was living in Nashville and walked into a Assembly of God church. Guy walked up to me who I had never met before in my life. And he said, you look like you're hurting. You really don't have any idea. Jim Carrey asked me, not the comedian, but Jim Carrey asked me that question. And it was one of those, and we all have them, aha moments in our lives. When we know that God was speaking to me through Jim. And the good that came out of a tragedy and the good that comes out of anything is that we are reformed. We are changed. Forever changed. I tell people, because they'll say, well, I'll be glad when things get back to normal. I said, I don't want to discourage you, but life is going to have a new normal for you. It's not the normal that you're used to. And what it did for me was it taught me about grief. It taught me about suffering. It taught me about helping people that go through tough times. And when we run into trouble, and when we run into those times, and we say we need to pray about it, sometimes that seems so trite. But it's far easier than giving up in fear and uncertainty. We're all encouraged to follow a leader, and I saw this week. It says, who says to move on? Who believes that we can do the task he has laid before us? And I thought, God's that kind of leader. He's the one that lays out hope in the midst of despair. He's the one that lays out direction. He's the one that knows the future. as Tom read, he's the one that has plans laid out for us. He didn't say life would be easy, but he did say something good would come out of it. And you know what my feelings are about Romans 8:28. And it says, in essence, that no matter what happens, good comes out of it. And there's too many people misquote that scripture. Because in talking to Charles today, there was no good that come out of the story that he was telling me. Just absolutely no good out of it. But if you look at 29, Romans 8:29, he says, we are being transformed, or we are being re-imaged into who Jesus is. That's the good that has to come out of something. And as long as God knows the future, and we allow God to provide our agenda, we allow God to go before us, as He goes with us, then we'll be able to fulfill the mission as He has laid out for us with hope. Doesn't mean we're going to avoid suffering. It doesn't mean we're going to avoid pain. But it does mean that He's there with us. And as God didn't forget the children of Israel when He said, I'll be back for you in 70 years. And He went back and He took them out of captivity. The question keeps coming to our minds, as I'm sure it did the children of Israel, or why are you leaving us here? Why are 33 students killed in Virginia Tech? Why does a tsunami hit in Japan and kill 19,000 people? Why are 20 first graders and teachers, six teachers killed in Newtown? Why does a bomber kill people because he leaves a bomb in the fifth largest city in the United States, in Boston? Why Las Vegas? Why Texas? Why Florida? Philip Yancey wrote a book, and the title of that book is The Question That Never Goes Away. And that question is why? And he has been to many places talking about where's God when it hurts? That's a tough question. I don't envy him being the one to do that. But if we look at the Bible, we see where Gideon said, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Job said, though I cry violence, I get no response. Though I call for help, there's no justice. Isaiah asks, he says, truly you are a God who has been hiding himself. And even Jesus hanging on the cross says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't just people of the Bible. It wasn't just people in 2018, 2017. It was God's Son that said to His Father, why have you forsaken me? And the thing that we see is God doesn't necessarily reveal Himself, but he will reveal His plan to us to let us know that we're not alone. Every survey that's done says that people that are connected to a group heal better, deal with things that go on in their lives better, are more able to work through situations. That's why when we do grief share, we like to have a group of people. I've done it with 15 people. That's why when divorce care is done, it's more than just one person going through it. Because if you look around, you'll see that I'm sharing this tough time with other people. And Paul said, if one part suffers, all parts suffer. If one part rejoices, all part rejoices. All parts rejoice in it. But when things happen Everybody seems to have the answer. Televangelists, I read this week, said, with the tsunami in Indonesia that killed 250,000 people, he said, it is God's wrath against a pagan nation that caused the Indonesian tsunami in 2004 that killed 250,000 people. He couldn't be further from right. When terrorists killed over 3,000 people on 9/11, a prominent fundamentalist in Virginia blamed it on the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actually trying to make the alternative lifestyle. The ACLU, People for the American Way. He ends it by saying, I point the thing in their face and say, you helped this happen. He couldn't be farther from right. It's just not true. And so, why do people think that evil is passed out on certain people when Job teaches just the opposite? Committed Calvinists believe that catastrophes are a part of God's will. However, if you look and read the New Testament and you read where Jesus touched people's lives, he never used that reasoning. I don't see anywhere in the New Testament God lecturing someone because they're blind. I don't see anywhere in the New Testament God lecturing someone because they're lame. What did he do? The Bible says he healed them. It didn't say he lectured them, it said he healed them. So we see people that are saying, the televangelists and all these people are saying this, and some world-renowned ministers are saying the same thing. We see them heaping more pain on an already hurting situation. Philip Yancey said, how do you feel when you put your child on a school bus one morning? Kiss them goodbye. Then go later in the day to identify their body. How do we find the why in all that? And any attempt to answer that question falls short. Falls short of any knowledge that I have. But the solution to that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the solution to sin is the gospel. And that's what he's trying to say. It's my responsibility to share that every Sunday, every opportunity that's given. I saw this week and I thought it was so true. It's not a political statement, it's something I read. Taking guns away will not deter. Taking forks away from people will not deter them from eating. Taking vehicles away from a drunk driver will not deter them from driving. We see that in Westerville. Two police officers shot by a felon who couldn't get a gun. But guess what? He got one because somebody got him one. The only thing that's going to change people is the message of Jesus Christ. The only thing that makes any difference. That's why it's so important, I think, for us to think about what's our mission? What's our objective? What's our goal? As I mentioned earlier, pastors around the nation today are trying to figure out what to say. It really isn't anything that you can say other than just be downright honest and say it's sin. I read an article this morning on MSN about the young man that did the killing in Florida. And he was adopted. His mother died from cancer and he was living with his best friend's family. He had weapons. He had guns when he moved in. But it was the father of his friend that said, there are rules and you will abide by the rules. And he said, you will get a gun cabinet and those guns will be locked up and I will have the key. Well, apparently, he had another key made before he gave the key to his friend's father. Where there's a will, there's a way. But the gospel changes that. Is there any meaning in tragedy? The Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Psalms 34:18 said, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and rescues those who are crushed in spirit. I think the brokenhearted and crushed spirit really adequately describes a lot of us today on what we feel. When tragedy strikes, it's a common thing to, you know, for us to ask ourselves, what does this mean? What happened? Why did it occur? We witness mass murders. We see disasters happen. And we wonder why. Someone said the innate sense of wrongness is a clue to meaning in these events. When we look to find meaning in tragedy, we must have the right perspective. We need to approach the question in a way that allows for a coherent answer. And this is only possible through a Christian worldview. Back to the gospel. Because God instills meaning into every moment and event in history, through Him we can begin to find meaning in suffering. The nature of this world lends itself to tragic events. That's a pretty sad thing to have to hear and say. Fortunately, God speaks to us so that we can find not only meaning, but salvation and relief from the sufferings of the world. Satan may have rule on the world, but he doesn't have the final word. Matthew 10:29-31 talks about Jesus knowing tragedy. Hebrews talks about he faced tragedy, Hebrews 2:14-18. And even when he instituted communion, he tied it to the past, the present, and the future. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, that's the present time, you proclaim the Lord's death, which is past, until he comes in the future. God's knowledge of events is nothing insignificant to him. We understand that he has control. We understand that he's sovereign. But we understand that the vast majority of human suffering is caused by sin and caused by evil. It's caused by people who disobey the moral law of God, who laid it out pretty clear. While God is perfectly capable of stopping tragedies, he chooses not to. While we may not know why, we know that he's perfect. We know that he's just. And we know that he's holy. So when we see suffering and we hear of suffering, I think there's three things it does. Number one, it leads us to seek God. I think it develops our spiritual strength. It makes us stronger. At least it should. When we see adversity, when we see things going on. And it increases our desire for heaven. Who wants to put up with this stuff? When you really stop and think about it. In the Garden of Eden, God spoke in very plain, direct ways. Not in concepts to Adam and Eve, but in very specific ways. And in some ways, this is the most important thing that we can see as we listen to Him and what He says. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to arouse a deaf world. Doesn't mean that God causes tragedy, but it does mean that He uses our reaction to tragedy to speak to us. What will we do when we see something come along and we ask why? People make a choice to hurt people. God created us as free moral beings, the right to choose right and wrong. Unfortunately, people choose wrong too often. These tragic events just remind us that we live in an imperfect and a fallen world, but it also gives us hope for heaven and a hope for better things and a hope for a better life. In closing, sometimes God puts us in the dark so we can see the light. He's fighting the battles. It's not us.